Now, the time just coming up to 20 past seven on Morning Ireland. A hastily organised summit of key European leaders in Paris yesterday resulted in calls for a lasting peace in Ukraine. French President Emmanuel Macron said he spoke with US President Donald Trump and the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky after the meeting. He said any ceasefire in the war must be achieved by Russia ending its aggression with credible security guarantees for Ukraine. The Paris summit came ahead of a meeting of top US and Russian officials who'll meet in Saudi Arabia today. The Kremlin said it could pave the way for face-to-face talks between President Trump and Russian leader Vladimir Putin. The last week has rocked the foundations of a decades-long relationship between the US and its European allies, with concerns the latter are being left out of peace talks. We're joined now to discuss this by Roland Oliphant, The Telegraph newspaper's senior foreign correspondent. Good morning, Roland, and thanks very much for joining us this morning. European leaders after that summit yesterday demanding security guarantees. Is that going to reassure President Zelensky and the Ukrainian people?
I think it will reassure him that the Europeans, or most of the Europeans, seem to be maintaining some kind of, I know, solidarity, I suppose, is the word. But the problem is, and you'll see this in what Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, said after this meeting, which is that, okay, even if Britain is prepared, or France or Germany is prepared to put up troops to go on the ground, the bottom line is there has to be an American backstop to that security guarantee, because and that is just practical reality, because they just have the military wherewithal that other countries don't. And that remains the real problem here.
And in reality, what is the US backstop? What does that mean? What would President Trump have to say?
Well, I think he would have, I mean, for a start, it would be advisable to lift this his ban on Ukraine ever joining NATO. Because from the Ukrainian point of view, the NATO Article 5 is the only deterrent, the only security guarantee that is definitely going to stop the Russians from restarting the war. There are other things that he ruled out, such as American troops having anything to do with any peacekeeping force. And he ruled out any European deployment having any NATO contingent or an Article 5 protection. And all of that means, essentially, that the Russians don't really have to worry too much about putting those peacekeepers in harm's way. The bottom line is American troops have a deterrent effect, because you don't want to hurt American troops because of what the Americans might do to you. That's why people want the Americans involved.
So do you think Vladimir Putin will have taken note at all of Keir Starmer's statement about being ready to send those peacekeepers, if needed, to Ukraine?
I'm sure he's taken note of it. I'm sure his advisors have put it on his morning brief. But I don't think for him it's the key thing. For Vladimir Putin, part of this war, there are many reasons for the war, but part of it was all about getting Russia back to where he thinks it should be, which is to be one of the global hegemons, along with the United States and China, the hegemons that have the right to decide the fate of the world. And from his point of view, the only truly independent country is one that is deciding other people's fate. That he's got to sit down with America, for him, is the big thing and the big win.
And this bilateral meeting now that's starting as we speak in Saudi Arabia between Russia and the US. We know Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov will be meeting the US Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I mean, it really kind of signifies this new era in geopolitics, doesn't it? When you've got the fate of nations, like you say, decided by agreement of two world leaders without anybody else being involved.
I think absolutely. I mean, look, the point is what Russia has always wanted, and what Russian diplomats and Vladimir Putin himself and officials for decades now have said, is they want something called a multipolar world. And what that really meant was that Moscow would once again be one of these superpower centres that would, you know, sit down as an equal with the United States in particular. These days they talk about China as well, and decide the way the world is going. And that, of course, means that other countries just don't have that much sovereignty. And from the that is a very different world to the one we're meant to be in today, that we thought we were in until, I don't know, just a few weeks ago. you know.
Mm-hmm. And this seems to be as well maybe a lot about hard cash and money, because your paper yesterday, of course, reporting that Trump actually wants a lot from Ukraine in terms of the demand of about $500 billion in payback for what the US has supplied Ukraine. So in terms of ports and infrastructure, access to oil, gas and minerals. It's interesting as well that in the Russian delegation in Saudi Arabia, the head of Russian sovereign wealth fund is also there. And he's been quoted, Kirill Dmitriev, as saying that he sees US President Donald Trump as a problem solver. Is this about money and cash and wealth?
I think for Vladimir Putin, for Vladimir Putin, I don't think it really is. I think for Vladimir Putin, it's about Russia's status as a great power and the fact that, as far as he's concerned, as long as Ukraine exists, Russia is not properly a great power. I think that's the driving force for Vladimir Putin. For Donald Trump, yes, it looks like it. I mean, the demand, once my colleagues got hold of that particular document, I mean, the details are absolutely astounding. I think it was, a proportion of GDP greater than what was demanded of Germany after the First World War. It just looks like, you know, a shakedown of a vulnerable power that until, you know, a few weeks ago was meant to be an ally. So yes, I think from the American president's point of view, the bottom line often involves money.
Roland Oliphant, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That's The Telegraph senior foreign correspondent. 25 minutes past 7 now in Morning Ireland.